Thanks for listening to us on the Jefferson Exchange today. We always appreciate when you are here with us. Music is the topic in this hour, music in many forms. Since we'll be talking to a musician, let's hear some music first. This should be quickly recognizable. Steve Perry, the singer, Journey, the band, Steve Smith, the drummer. He's rejoined Journey a couple of times, including for a tour last summer and another one coming up again this year. It is far from the only outfit Steve Smith plays with. Steve Smith and his jazz fusion group Vital Information recorded its first album the same year this Journey song came out. Steve Smith now lives in Ashland part-time and will be a featured guest at the Ashland Jazz Festival on Saturday night at Ashland High School. Steve Smith, pleasure to have you in the studio.
Thank you. Thanks for having me here.
And a very long and illustrious career. It's been fun doing some research on all the things you've done. It's you are one of those people who happily probably is not easily pigeonholed.
That's true.
Do you come from a musical family, I guess would be the first question.
No, but I grew up in the Boston area, and my parents were very supportive of me learning music, and I did start fairly young. It was a fourth grade assembly where you could choose an instrument, and I chose to play the snare drum, and then I started taking lessons right away. So my folks found me a very good local teacher, which really contributed to my love of music because he turned me on to big bands, and I grew up really loving the sound of big band music and big band drumming. And so in the 1963 is when I started. So in the 60s, when my classmates were listening to the Beatles, I was listening to Count Basie and Buddy Rich. And I got to see all those bands firsthand, which was really interesting. And then after graduating high school in 1972, I went to the Berklee College of Music in Boston. And it was a really fantastic time to learn about music because I could see Miles Davis and Herbie Hancock. And those groups had just started going electric. And it was, you know, only like 5 years from the period where Miles was playing with Tony Williams and Wayne Shorter and Herbie Hancock and Ron Carter. But all those musicians, maybe except for Ron Carter, had gone electric. And then I saw Tony Williams' New Lifetime, Herbie Hancock, Headhunters, Wayne Shorter with Weather Report.
So big changes in jazz coming up.
Yeah, and that was jazz. It wasn't considered fusion. It was just that was the vanguard of jazz. And so my drumming style was informed by big band drumming. Of course, I couldn't help be influenced by the rock that was going on around me in high school, like hearing Hendrix and Cream and Led Zeppelin. But then when especially Billy Cobham came on the scene with Mahavishnu Orchestra, that approach, that, you know, big drum set and the very visceral way of playing jazz, it was very influential to me. And then when I saw Billy Cobham and then Lenny White and Narda Michael Walden and Alphonse Mouzon and all these great drummers that were playing that kind of new style in those days, that electric jazz, that was very influential on me. So like you found a clip of me playing with Lynn Viviano big band. I was touring with big bands, but then shortly after that, I started touring and recording with Jean-Luc Ponty.
In fact, I want people to hear this clip because this is amazing. You're probably in your early 20s,
just about 19
years old.
I was 19.
With the Lynn Viviano big band. Let's hear that. You got a guy that good in front. Everybody behind him's got to be pretty good, too, don't they?
Something. I can't believe you found that.
Everything's on YouTube.
We recorded that for Stan Kenton's label called Creative Worlds. And that was probably my first real, like, pro recording. I remember doing it in Chicago.
But I'm thinking you're 19 years
19,
old and you're
yeah.
really cranking on the drums even at that point.
Yeah, I had good training. I think that's so much of it. You know, it was like the right time and place and very good background and then a very fertile environment to learn music. And because you can learn music a lot, like, you know, like I said, I had good training, but more than anything, you learn it by doing it. And I had a lot of opportunity to do it.
So I did wonder then if you did some of the basic high school stuff too. I mean, did you do like high school jazz band or marching band or anything like that?
We didn't have a high school jazz band, but I did high school concert band and high school marching band. But there was a local college, Bridgewater State College, right near us, and they had a big band, and they didn't have a drummer, so I got recruited when I was in high school to be in the college big band. So that was really helpful.
Yeah, that'll get your chops up there. So you know, as young as you were playing this well, was there ever any idea of a job or career outside of music?
Never. Always music.
Wow.
I even considered myself a musician as far as like thinking back to 11 or 12 years old. I just thought of myself as a musician.
You had a good teacher. Who was that first teacher?
Billy Flanagan was his name. He wasn't famous. He was just a very good local teacher.
So once we were talked about the progression of people you worked with in jazz, and once you linked up with Jean-Luc Ponty, did you think that jazz was where you were going to be for your entire musical career?
I did, yes. And but when I started playing with Jean-Luc Ponty, he wanted me to get a big double bass drum set, and before that I didn't. I just had a basic jazz drum set. And so when I started playing the double bass drum set, that started to, let's say, pique my interest in rock styles, because it was pretty close to a rock style of playing. And 1978, that was like a year where I made a choice. I played with Freddie Hubbard, and he wanted me to go on tour with him. And then I also auditioned for Ronnie Montrose, and he wanted me to tour with him. And Montrose, at that time, it was like an instrumental rock, like a Jeff Beck kind of a vibe. Mm-hmm. And I decided to play with Ronnie Montrose. I had never really played with a real rock musician before. Like, I'd only played with professional jazz musicians.
Right, yeah.
Hadn't even really worked with pro singers before. So I just... But that was an instrumental group, and then we ended up being the opening act for Journey for a 3-month tour, and that's how I met the guys in Journey.
Okay, so we'll talk about the Journey gig and how that all developed into what it became, which is Steve Smith being in Journey basically in 3 different stints, including coming up for this summer's tour. We'll come back and talk more with Steve Smith about drumming and artwork and a really rich career of the arts over the last 35, 40 years. Back on the Jefferson Exchange with Steve Smith and your phone calls and emails if you'd like to join us in a minute 15. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're talking to Steve Smith, the drummer, and I hesitate to say the Journey drummer because he does so much more than that. He also plays with Vital Information and a couple of other groups. He has played with pretty much every name you've heard of in jazz and fusion and a lot of acts in rock as well. Was listed by Rolling Stone as one of the 100 greatest drummers of all time, but he shows up on other lists even higher than that listing. So Steve Smith, really great with the drumsticks, also does visual art involving drumsticks that we'll talk about in this hour as well. If you'd like to visit with us, we'd like to hear from you at 800-838-3760, or emails go to jx@jeffnet.org. So we're just getting into the Journey gig. You had played with Ronnie Montrose's band,
right,
who was opening for Journey. And
yes. And then at the end of this tour in 1978, they asked me if I wanted to join the band, and that sounded really interesting to me. I'd heard them play for this entire tour, and they appealed to me in a musical way. I was impressed with Neil Schon's guitar playing and Steve Perry's singing, and Greg Raleigh was a great organ player, and Ross Valerie, a fantastic bass player, and Ainsley Dunbar, who turned into a friend. But he was not happy with the direction of the group, and they wanted something a little different from the drums. What they were looking for was more of R&B-influenced rock kind of playing, whereas Ainsley was freer, more like, let's say, Mitch Mitchell playing with Jimi Hendrix, you know, very, very free kind of jazz rock drumming. You know, ironically, of course, I could do that yeah. too. But I also could be real disciplined and just play exactly the kind of grooves they were looking for to make the songs work, because they were transitioning from being more of a like a jam rock band into more of a pop rock band.
Making actual cranking out singles, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. And for me, that seemed like an interesting path and a way to learn how to do that, because I didn't really know how to do that, but I had the potential to do that because I hadn't really done it. But and you know, I'm a quick study, and so I got involved, and they gave me a lot of direction, and I learned pretty quickly, and then I really applied myself to it. And so that's something that developed pretty quickly. And then the music took on a life of its own, and we had a very creative period between 78 and 85.
You really did. You cranked out a whole bunch of albums with a lot of hits. Yeah. Now, one of the questions that comes to mind when I consider drumming styles is, and I couldn't find a better way to word it than whether rock drumming provided enough of a challenge. I mean, with all the kinds of rhythms you were handling in jazz, whether keeping a basic 4-4 beat was well, I don't know, more boring for you or something when you got into rock.
It's not that it's more boring. It's a different discipline. And then it requires discipline to play the music each night and not change it, or to change it just very minimally, just enough to keep it interesting. But it's not... It definitely was not and is not totally fulfilling for me just to play rock music. It isn't enough. And it's not just the simplicity of it. It's the concept of not being able to improvise. And you just can't get together with, you know, Journey and improvise throughout all those songs. It just wouldn't work. Certain parts of certain songs would work. But I also grew up, like I said before, communicating with jazz musicians. So that's a different concept, different mentality, and a different way of approaching music. And that is something that is very essential for me to be involved in. So that's why, like, during this time of Journey, I was still making jazz records with different people. I had a band with Tom Koster and Randy Jackson, who ironically, he was a jazz musician too. And then... And then I started Vital Information in 1983, and we made our first album for Columbia and toured that year. And that's 35 years ago, so I've been touring and recording with Vital Information ever since. Every couple of years I put out a record, and mm-hmm. we tour every year.
I want to give your answer, your drum solo answer to you know, rock yeah. drumming being interesting. And this is a clip from a concert last year in Illinois, and it basically it's your feet answering your hands. I highly recommend anybody watching that. It's just fun to watch because there are so many good video shots of that as well. But is this the part where the guitar player gets to walk off stage and get a beer and a towel while you're still working?
Basically, yeah. No, I do have a solo every night with Journey, and that's my chance to improvise. And I play a different solo every night. And I always film them with my own little camera. And then once a week I decide to put one up online on my Facebook. My uh-huh. Facebook is facebook.com/vitalinformation. And so there's, I don't know, probably 40 solos up there at this point from that tour and other things that I do.
There's a bunch of great stuff from Vital Information, and we'll get to that a little later on. But before we leave Journey completely, though, I have to ask about induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame last year, Steve Smith as the drummer for Journey.
Right.
That must have been something else.
That was pretty interesting and came out of the blue. I wasn't thinking about it, but then... we got elected into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, so that was an exciting evening. And also, well, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is very precise about who is inducted in these bands. And so it was Ainsley Dunbar, the original Journey drummer, and myself, and Greg Raleigh, the original keyboard player, and Jonathan Cain, and then Steve Perry, Neil Sean, and Ross Valerie. So, you know, we were already on tour with Arnel Pineda singing for us, because Steve Perry hasn't sung with the band since 1997.
And he didn't that night either, right?
He didn't sing that night either. No, we asked him, but he declined. And so we, you know, accepted the award, and we heard a lot of great music that night. It was really an exciting night and interesting to hear Electric Light Orchestra and Joan Baez and Yes, especially. They were amazing. And then to hang out with some of those folks, like I knew the drummers from Yes, Bill Bruford and Alan White, so we got to hang backstage, and the whole night was pretty fun.
Oh, that sounds great. Steve Smith, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, drummer for Vital Information, Journey, and boy, you can name a whole bunch of other bands, and he'd be on those lists as well. He lives part of the year in Ashland. He'll be the special guest star at the Ashland Jazz Festival on Saturday night at the Ashland High School Mountain Avenue Theater. If you'd like to join our conversation here in the Exchange, you're welcome to do so. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Jim, no town given. He's in California. Welcome, Jim.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, Steve.
Hello.
Hey, I just wanted to say I started drumming in 1988, and I wanted to thank you for all the inspiration that you've given me through your instructional videos, magazine articles, and whatsoever. I grew up in a town, Richmond, across from you in Novato, and I think we crossed paths at Drum World a few times in San Francisco.
All right, sure. Well, thank you.
I don't have any questions. I know quite a bit about you. Like I said, I followed you. You're my Yoda of drums. And, yeah, thank you. I'm up in Arcata, and it was kind of a trip to hear you on the radio this morning.
All right.
Thank you for everything.
Well, thank you. Carry on.
All right. Thanks, All right. Jim. Appreciate Bye-bye. The call. Take care. So you do share a lot of information. You're one of those drummers who is not just keeping your secrets to yourself. You right. put it all out there in the world.
Yeah, I have a lot of instructional videos, DVDs out, and just put out a book last year called Pathways of Motion about drumming technique. And I teach pretty frequently at drum camps and drum clinics, and have been doing that for 35, 40 years. And I have my new book just got translated into Chinese. So I've toured over there doing clinics, and I'll be over there probably next year supporting that.
For the people who are thinking about drumming and who've never drummed, I mean, what is it like to try to coordinate four limbs across an even greater number of devices in front of you?
It's a step-by-step process. You really have to go step-by-step. And it's difficult to start with all four limbs together on a drum set. You know, the way I started was just like I mentioned, the snare drum first. And even before that, it was the practice pad, just a pad, you know, to learn how to get your right hand and left hand to be coordinated. And then you add one foot to that and then another foot. And people do it, like, let's say, self-taught method, but they end up being, for the most part, unless they're really gifted and really have a lot of opportunity to work things out, pretty limited. So taking lessons from a very good teacher is a method that I recommend.
You mentioned your first teacher being pretty good. I imagine at Berkeley, you probably had some, and this is not UC Berkeley, but the Berkeley.
Berkeley College of Music in Boston. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had some really great teachers there. Alan Dawson and Gary Chafee, and in the drum world, people know who those folks are. They're, you know, highly regarded players and really great teachers that gave me a lot of information technically and as far as conceptually.
Have you seen the movie Whiplash with
yes.
J.K. Simmons as the tough drum
Horrible.
Teacher?
Well, unrealistic completely. Mm-hmm. It's more like a Marine movie, you right. know, something like from a boot camp of a military situation. I've never experienced anything like that in music school.
That was the question, whether you had any teachers like that. And the answer
no.
is no. Nobody would do
that.
I don't
think they would last very long.
No. Well, but, you know, there's so many great teachers out there and so many great drummers out there, and you have paid your tribute to some of them along the way. So let's actually get a clip of you playing Nutville with the Buddy Rich Big Band. Thank you. right. That is Steve Smith playing Nutville with the Buddy Rich Big Band in a tribute to Buddy Rich. And
I didn't hear the big band. I just heard the drum solo.
Well, I figured we'd tell that to the guest in the studio. So that is from 1991. So that's nearly a decade into Vital Information, which we talked a little bit about so far. So talk about how you gathered the people for Vital Information or how you came together.
Sure. The original version of Vital Information, the bass player, Tim Landers, and the sax player, David Wacheski, they were actually students in that college big band that I talked about when I was in high school. So they were also high school musicians that were in a college big band. And we just continued to play together. They went to school in Boston as well. And then when I went on tour with Ponty and Journey, Tim Landers went on tour with Billy Cobham and Al DeMille, and Dave Wacheski went on tour with Freddie Hubbard. And then we would hook up and just play gigs in Boston once a year. We'd have Mike Stern or Dean Brown or some folks play with us. And eventually that just became Vital Information. So 83, I was able to get a record deal with Columbia Records, because that was the label Journey was on. And we started recording. And Mike Stern and Dean Brown are on that first Vital Information record. And then I've kept some of the members have changed over the years because people get busy and do different things. So my current lineup is Vinnie Valentino on guitar, Baron Brown on bass, and Mark Soskin on keyboards. And we just finished a West Coast tour where we did like L.A. and the Bay Area and Phoenix and Las Vegas. And we did an East Coast tour, and we're headed to Japan pretty soon as well to play in Tokyo.
I've just seen references to Vital Information New York City edition. Do you have different personnel in New York?
Right. Well, in 2007, I bought an apartment in Manhattan, and then we started.
So your career's done okay for you financially.
Yeah, so we started. I always wanted to be, part of the New York scene. And even early on, 1986, the year after I left Journey, I was playing with Steps Ahead, and we were based in New York, and I was playing with Michael Brecker and Mike Maneri and Daryl Jones and Mike Stern. And since then, I'd been pretty tightly connected with the jazz musicians of New York, but I never lived there. So I'd always wanted to actually live there. So now my wife and I spend a good amount of time every year living there, and that's really changed the members of Vital Information, because now I have Mark Soskin lives a couple blocks from me in the Upper West Side, and so we play together a lot. And then Vinnie Valentino lives there, and Baron's been the bass player for 20 years in Vital Information. So that's why we call it the NYC edition, because Tom Koster used to be in the band.
Uh-huh.
Now Tom and he lived in the Bay Area, but he retired about 4 years ago, and now he doesn't tour or play music. He lives in Mexico much of the year. And with me in New York, it just came about like that. And so the group has somewhat of a different sound than the version before, which was a little more like fusion bass, where the NYC edition is a little more jazz oriented.
Hmm. Let's take a call. We have, he left. Oh, well.
Okay.
It was a caller from Ashland, though, who apparently wanted to talk about an upcoming workshop you have with elementary and middle school kids.
Right. I'm doing that this week. I'm going to be just talking to the middle school. I'm not sure if it's just musicians or it's the whole middle school, but I'll find out. But I'm going to present like a drum clinic and talk about music, answer questions, whatever they're interested in talking about. But I'll just talk about my musical life and play some drums. I'm going to bring a drum set with me. And then I'm going to do the same thing with the high school students. And I'm going to then also play with the Ashland High School Jazz Group. And we're going to rehearse on Friday. And then we're going to have a concert on Saturday. And then there's a local big band that's being organized from some of the best students from other high schools all around Southern Oregon.
I see that. It's a regional all-star high school jazz big band. That
right.
sounds fun.
And so we're going to play some pretty advanced big band charts, and I've been listening and working on those. So I'll be prepared to be playing with them this Saturday.
How did you find Ashland?
My daughter and my wife's daughter went to SOU.
Really?
Yeah, they really liked it. We were in Marin. We lived in Marin for 28 years. And then when it was time for college, SOU was recommended, and they came up and really liked it. So so we liked it. We would stay at B&Bs and started spending a lot of time here, and eventually bought a house here and really liked and sold our place in the Bay Area.
So it seems like you've had a fairly stable life. You haven't fallen into the rock drummer pit or the rock star lifestyle.
No. Well, it depends on what you mean by that. But no, but I've had a. It's not easy to do what I do because I'm touring a lot and it's been difficult in at certain times. But in general, it's been a pretty stable life.
All right, we'll take a short break and come back and talk more with Steve Smith, the drummer from Journey and from Vital Information and a bunch of other groups as well, playing at the Ashland Jazz Festival we referenced a moment ago, Saturday night at the Mountain Avenue Theater in Ashland. Back on the Jefferson Exchange with Steve Smith and your phone calls and emails if you'd like to join us when we return in a minute 30. Steve Smith and Vital Information playing A Night in Tunisia. It's one of the videos he referenced earlier in the program. Steve Smith, the drummer for Vital Information and Journey. He'll be on tour with Journey again this summer, and he's just played with all kinds of artists. We haven't even begun to scratch the list. Listed by Rolling Stone magazine as number 36 on the 100 Greatest Drummers of All Time. He shows up higher on some other lists as well. Steve Smith, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, and you can join the conversation at 800-838-3760 by phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. And let me point out once again, Steve Smith is also doing some workshops in the area prior to the Ashland Jazz Festival coming up on Saturday night, February 10th at 7 at the Mountain Avenue Theater. That features the Garrett Baxter Quartet, the Wednesday Collective, the Ashland High Jazz Ensemble, and a regional all-star high school jazz big band. Steve Smith is considered the special guest star of the evening. Tickets are available online or from Ashland High School band students, or just go to grizzband.org. Steve Smith stepped out for just a moment because he had to inform his wife that this was not a half-hour interview, but a whole-hour interview, so he'll be back in just a second. In the meantime, let's hear some more of the stuff that Steve Smith's been creating with Vital Information. Here's a cut off his very recent CD called Boogaloolu. Let's hear that. That is Vital Information, isn't it?
Vital Information, NYC edition. Yes, newest album.
So
Heart
this
of the City.
Does not include Tom Koster then, right?
It does not.
You found something you love to do at age 9 and have managed to stick with it this whole time.
That's true, yes. I'm lucky that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I should point out too that we've talked generally about American genres, but you have you've worked in other genres. But you've really gotten into some Indian rhythms as well.
That's right. In 2002, I got pretty deeply involved with studying the rhythms of South India, and I learned it through a system, an art form called conical, and conical is where you learn syllables so you can express rhythms. So, for example, da takatarigitatom takatarigitatakka takatarigitatom takatarigitatakka tarigitatom tarigitatakka tarigitatom 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 tarigitatakka takatarigitatakka conical. So that is something that I studied to learn the rhythms, and then I could play the rhythms on the drum set, and I started communicating with Indian musicians and touring with Zakir Hussain, who's really one of the greatest musicians in the world. Zakir,
does the rhythm that you just did in the conical, does that correspond to any sort of Western key signature, 5-4, 7-4, anything?
Oh no, it's in 4-4. Mm-hmm. It's all in 4-4, but it's inspired by Indian rhythms. And in that, so with that, opened the door for me to go to India or play with lots of different Indian musicians. And so that's been something that's been really interesting and fun for me. And we incorporate that into the music of Vital Information. So there's conical and Indian rhythms and especially this new album, but some of the other older albums as well.
You know, one of the things I always want to ask a drummer when I first talk to them is about the grip. And it was interesting because I noticed you use the military grip with the left hand.
Yeah.
Traditional grip. But you also have done some sessions on using matched grip. Is that right?
Right, yeah. I use all grips. I use matched grip and traditional grip. I grew up traditional grip. But I just like to have a lot of different options. And so I spend time with all of them and teach all of them and its various methods, like the book Pathways of Motion is about four different versions of match grip. So, yeah, there's a lot of potential for in any one of the grips if you just spend enough time and really learn details.
So I remain in awe of your durability. I mean, you've been doing this for a very long time, but for example, just looking at the video of the bit we played earlier, the drum solo from one of last summer's Journey concerts,
right.
The amount of strength you must have in your upper body and I mean, can you crush quarters in your between your fingers?
No, it doesn't take a lot of strength. It just takes knowing how to get a big sound out of the instrument, and that doesn't require brute force. It's more like refined martial arts.
Is that a mistake a lot of young drummers make, is thinking
Absolutely.
It is brute force?
Yeah. And I've been fortunate to have very good teachers. I've studied over the years with, I mentioned the teachers at Berkeley, but then especially in 1990, I met a teacher named Freddie Gruber, who was like a Yoda kind of character that could help teach drummers how to play with a very minimal effort and get a lot back with minimal energy. And if you watch those Journey videos, you'll see I'm not playing real hard, and I don't hurt myself, and I don't break sticks or dent drum heads, but I can know how to get a big sound. And it's just knowing how to draw the sound out of the instrument and then play in a balanced way, meaning like that the sound of the bass drum is in balance to the level of the snare, to the toms and the cymbals, like that my inner balance is working well. So then if it needs to be louder, I just let the microphones do that work.
With your sense of balance in that sense and the sense of rhythm that is obviously incorporated completely within your body and soul by now, do you dance ever?
Not really, no.
I was going to ask if you're good at it. I mean, no. With that sense of rhythm, you should.
Sometimes my wife and I will put on Hamilton real loud and we'll dance, but that's about it.
Let's talk about the visual art, because obviously there's more that you've done with drumsticks than just make sounds. You've also made some pictures with this as well. Tell us about that.
Well, I started practicing with lighted drumsticks when Vic Firth, this drumstick company, put them out like 10 years ago. And I always like to practice in front of a mirror to watch my form. And so I eventually would practice in front of a mirror with all the lights out. So I could, and you could follow the tips of these sticks in the mirror and follow the path that my sticks were making. And so that was something that seemed rather interesting to me. In fact, I put out a video called Steve Smith Practicing at Home. It's on YouTube. And part of it is me playing and practicing with the light sticks. So in 2013, a company called Scene 4 asked me if I wanted to make some art using lighted drumsticks. So I thought, well, that sounds interesting. Sure. And so the process goes, we rent a studio. I bring my drum set. And they had the sticks that I had, the Vic Firth sticks with the lights in the tip, but they also had these drumsticks where the entire drumstick lights up when you hit something. The whole stick becomes red or green or blue, you know, mm-hmm. different colors. And so we turn off the lights, and then I play, and they do time-lapse photography. So because I had been practicing with these sticks for a couple of years, I had a lot of ideas of the motions that I wanted to make. And so I could play a certain pattern around the drums and have an idea of what it would look like. And if they hold the lens open for like 15 seconds, it creates an image. And then we looked at all these images and we choose. We spent the whole day doing this, maybe like 8 hours. And so we got hundreds of images, and out of those hundreds of images, we chose 13 that we really liked, and then we put those on canvas, and they look pretty cool, pretty amazing, because sometimes you can literally see that I'm playing the drums, and you can see it from that sense, and other times it's very abstract what you see, and that artwork is now on display at Artist Dreams here in Ashland, downtown Ashland, at 60 East Main Street. And it'll be up for a while. I'm not sure how long. Could be a month or something, or until they all sell out. but on Sunday, this coming Sunday, the 11th, at 4 o'clock, I'm going to have a drum set in there and do a demonstration showing how it is that I created these pieces of art.
Sunday at 11, you said?
At 4 p.m.
4 p.m., sorry.
11th is the day.
Oh, the 11th. Okay.
Yeah.
That's where
at about 4 p.m.
At Artist Dreams is the name of the
Artist
place.
Dreams. It's a brand new art gallery in downtown Ashland, right by where Taroko is, you know, the Japanese restaurant. It's like very nice little space, and they have a lot of cool art. I've already bought some pieces from them. So that'll be an interesting afternoon, and for those that want to see the art and see how it's done. And the art will continue to be there even after that display.
There's some interesting variety to the art. The one that we put up on our website as a launch into this interview to let people know what was happening is you can actually see the drums a bit.
Okay.
It looks like you have a white-sided drum kit there. So you can, but in some of the others, you can't. You don't really know what's
right.
going on. It might as well be somebody with a brush
exactly.
on a black canvas. So it's some interesting stuff. So,
yeah.
But 8 hours to make one picture, or 8 hours to make 40 pictures, or what do you get out of a session?
Well, out of that 8-hour session, we got the 13 pieces. But, I mean, we got hundreds of images, but they don't all look great. You know, it's sort of a happy accident when it all works out. And because it could be blurry or overexposed or just not that interesting. So, but it was a full day's work to get this collection. And so when I say this collection, it means we made 13 pieces, but each one is limited edition. There's only like 3 of this particular one and 2 of that or 10 of this one. And it adds up to a total of 100. And once the 100 pieces are sold out, that's the end of the collection. And we're very close to being at the end. I had an art show in New York. I had one in Las Vegas. And people have just, you know, bought them online, too. You can buy them online as well. And once it's sold out, it's sold out. And we'll probably do another collection then. You know, I'll do it again. And I went in the studio and recorded drum solos to go along with each piece of art. And that's a book that we'll have for sale there as well. So it's like a coffee table book with all the pieces of art in it, lots of photographs of, you know, me playing drums and doing the, you know, making the art. But I made 14 drum solos, like very compositional solo pieces, and they're on an LP, 22 minutes aside on an LP. And I recorded that here in Ashland at Sylvia Massey's studio.
Oh, we had her in a little while ago, yeah.
And it's an incredible studio, fantastic sound. So I did this whole solo drumming album there, and now that we'll have that available at Artist Dreams also.
Wow, you found lots of ways to make drumming beyond beyond its original.
So
I'm going to ask Darnell to cue up one of the clips off your CD so we can come out of the show with that. But where do you go from here? I mean, you've done so much already. You're still very busy with both Journey and with Vital Information.
Yeah.
What are the next things for Steve Smith?
And other things. I have a band called Groove Blue. It's an organ trio, and we have an album out called Groove Blue, and we'll be playing in New York at Birdland pretty soon, right after I get back from Tokyo with Vital Information. I'm also still playing with Steps Ahead now and from now time to time. So I'll be in New York with Steps Ahead at Birdland the last week of February, first week of March. And then I have this big tour with Journey coming up, 6-month tour with Journey, Def Leppard, co-headlining. And then after that, I'll be back to... I'm already booking 2019.
Wow. I did glance at the Journey schedule just a bit. I know for sure you're playing Portland. So that'll get you in.
I think that's in like September, right? Something in the September.
It's later area. in the summer, early in the fall. Yeah,
because the tour starts in May and ends in October.
Okay. Always busy. Steve Smith, the drummer for Journey and Vital Information and Steps Ahead and you name it. He's worked with all kinds of artists over the years. Also the guest artist at this weekend's Ashland Jazz Festival. That's Saturday night at 7 at the Mountain Avenue Theater at Ashland High School.
And this is the first Ashland Jazz Festival. So this will be the first one, and then they hope to keep it going year after year after this.
Sounds great. So we'll leave with, it looks like Rhythmining from...
Rhythmining, yes. It's a Thelonious Monk tune, and we have totally changed it to make it fit our sound with Vital Information NYC edition.
And that'll take us out today. Our producers are John Baxter and April Ehrlich. Darnell Willison's at the controls today. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Steve Smith, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
All right, thank you.